What a pleasure to be here. Oh my goodness. To be in this space, to be in this place with such an interesting heritage, and to see all of you this morning. And to be here to honor the new and mutual ministry of this place and these people with my buddy Eric. That buddy Eric. I'm married to that buddy Eric over there. That buddy Eric. And Eric and I share history in that when I went to Canada as bishop in the diocese right across the border out of Vancouver, British Columbia, he followed. Not necessarily me, but we have that experience of going away and coming back, and coming back changed from having gone away. So it's a pleasure to get to do this. So what a delight to hear that first reading, huh? Perfect for me. For many, many years ago, the story of Samuel and Eli was the most popular biblical story in my home. For you see, in those days, I was a young stay-at-home mom with an active little boy who never slowed down and never listened to anything but his own relentless energy. And so when this story, a story with repetition, all the things that are needed, right? Repetition, mistaken identity, sleeping and waking, being quiet and listening came along, well, I jumped on it. I told it to my son, with me in the role of Eli, and of course, the voice of God, and with him in the role of the boy Samuel. With these things in place, we acted it out over and over again. But as lovely as this was for us, the story of Samuel and Eli, as you will listen and hear it, as you heard it, is not really a children's story. Instead, it's the story of vocation, the story of the emergence of the adult prophet Samuel, and along with this, the story of the fall of Eli and his family, and the coming ultimately of David, Israel's new leader and king. All of these stories show us, express for us, how momentous new things from God can arrive in our lives. They bring with them extraordinary blessing and upsetting reversals. But first, even though you don't now need it, let's review just a bit about the story. Since birth, Samuel had been dedicated by his parents to serve in the temple of the Lord with Eli, the prophet. In this story, both Samuel and Eli are bedding down for the night in the temple area during a time when, as the author says, the word of God was rare. The word of God was rare. And so when little Samuel is awakened by someone calling his name in the middle of the night, he quite naturally assumes that it's Eli who's calling him. This happens over and over again, with Samuel going to Eli each time to ask what Eli wants, and each time Eli sending the boy back to his bed. Eventually, of course, Eli figures it all out. And he tells Samuel that if he's awakened again, he is to just stay where he is and to invite God to speak to him. And this, of course, is exactly what happens in the story. God speaks to Samuel, but the words that Samuel hears from God are not what he would want or expect to hear. And see, notice Eli calls him my son. So there's an intimate relationship between the two. So what he hears are not what he would want or expect to hear. He hears that he, Samuel, will have a part in rearranging the personal lives and the political landscape of insiders in the land of Israel, and Eli's right at the center of that, all of which will clear a pathway for a new thing to come into being. And so as we hear this story, listening to God will not necessarily bring us rest and comfort. And you know this already. Those of you who've listened deeply to the mystery at the core of your life, trying to discern what it is leading you to do, know it's not just about rest and comfort. God does not always come to throw a warm blanket over us and send us back to sleep as a parent might do in a children's story or in the supportive life, an actual life of a family. No, God comes with a word for us, a word that is rare or scarce in our consciousness or in the world around us, a word that we or the world needs, a word of blessing, yes, even of comfort if need be, but just as often a word of challenge and conflict, something that pushes us into a realm we're not comfortable with. And it seems God comes with a word of action, to repair, to renew our lives, to repair or renew our community, to repair or renew the world around us. And we know a little bit about the need for that these days. But why is all of this in our story happening to a child? Why is a fearful child asked to receive a difficult message in the night and then deliver it in the light? You might say, well, this is the story of the call of Samuel, renowned poet of Israel, and so it follows that this story would take place when he was just a boy, to express how important he was from the very beginning of his life as a prophet to his people. We know about this in Scripture, you know, stories about the young Jesus in the book of Luke that doesn't occur in any other places in Scripture, to sort of imbue him with these, with his holiness early on in his life. But another reading might say this is a story not just about the call of Samuel, renowned prophet of Israel, but about you and me as we struggle to listen to God, to open ourselves, to be drawn into the rare, even scarce, word of comfort or blessing or challenge that God wants to speak to the world through us. And out of that, you might say that the reason that this is the story of a child learning to listen is that it's only out of our child, out of the most trusting, open, and dependent places within us, that we're able to listen to the comforting or challenging words of God and, though afraid, to act on them. It's only out of our child, out of the most trusting, open, and yes, dependent places within us, that we're able to listen to the comforting or challenging words of God and, though afraid, to act on them. And you might even say also that the beginning of a new and mutual ministry here at Grace Church on Bainbridge Island is the perfect time for all of you to listen to Scripture, to listen to God through prayer, to listen to each other, to listen to your neighborhood, to listen to all these things together, and to trust that in listening, the unique vocation of this congregation and its people with Eric will be revealed. A vocation that will involve blessing, but may also involve turbulence. And please notice that I'm saying will be revealed versus will be grabbed, will be grasped, will be insisted on. Do you see the difference? Will be revealed versus will be grabbed, will be grasped, will be insisted on. Let me say a little more about that. The story goes that Paul Tillich, noted theologian who taught at Union Seminary in New York City years ago, was once challenged by a more biblically conservative student in a lecture hall where he was giving a lecture. The student rose, Bible in hand, and asked Dr. Tillich this. He said, "Dr. Tillich, do you believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God?" Tillich answered, "If you grasp it, no. If it grasps you, yes. If you grasp it, no. If it grasps you, yes." This, in my view, is what listening to God from the consciousness of an open, receptive, and trusting human being is all about. The possibility of being grasped, being pulled into something that has you rather than you're having it. And if it sounds scary, it is. Being pulled into the mystery that is God in Christ, a mystery that doesn't stay put but wants to go someplace and to do something. And of course, this listening, this being grasped by the mystery of God in Christ, comes with it both with a blessing and a challenge. A blessing in terms of reassurance that God will be with us if we listen openly and faithfully and dare to act on that listening. And a challenge in terms of this, that the path that God calls us, invites us to take, typically may involve, as it did with Samuel, stepping into a storm that we don't feel really ready or qualified to engage in, questioning the status quo, whatever that may be, troubling those who have been our elders with God's words of repair and renewal that have to do with compassion, with justice, with liberty, with reconciliation, with forgiveness. But know this, God is still speaking. God's word, whatever that may be for us, is still trying to elude our grasp and trying to grasp us through our most receptive and trusting consciousness. The consciousness that becomes available to us in the middle of the night. God is still speaking. God is still speaking. God is still saying a new thing to this congregation and to Eric, its new rector, though he has been here before. Though Eric has been here before, and though this congregation has had more new starts, probably than any congregation in the diocese, over the past 10 years, let's say, God is still speaking. God is still speaking. God is still speaking with a word of blessing or comfort or challenge and a call, an invitation to us to enflesh the word, just as God did in Christ Jesus, the incarnate one. God is still speaking. And so, Eric and people of Grace Church, listen to Scripture. Listen to God in prayer and silence. Listen to each other. Listen to your neighborhood. And if you hear someone or something call this congregation's name, which, by the way, is Grace, and then call it again, imagine for a moment that it's not an accident or a delusion or just random noise. Imagine that it is God searching for you, God searching for this community, and God hoping, always hoping, that you will say, "Speak, O Holy One, for your people are listening."